Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to Beth Israel Messianic Synagogue. Today is beautiful, beautiful evening. Really beautiful. It's getting hot during the day, but it's much, much better now here. So today I would like to share my understanding of the Messianic movement from the biblical point of view. So from my point of view, from the biblical point of view. And I would like you to read with me and stay with me through the scriptures, please. And if you will have questions, and I believe you will have questions, you can remember them and we can talk later. So I would like to start, and actually today's Torah portion is beautiful Torah portion. Parshat Kedushim, holy people. You can put it in few words, be holy. Because I'm the Lord, your God, are holy, is holy. So I would like to start with a few questions I experienced through my ministry in my life. Often I'm asked, not often, but sometimes I've asked, what are you? Not who are you, what are you? What kind of an animal are you? Are you Christian or Jew? Why do you play church in the synagogue or synagogue in the church? It's opposite. Depends on whom you talk to. What is important about Messianic movement? Is it scriptural? How long has your movement been around? I mean, all these sorts of questions, and I will not answer everything. It's up to you to find it, but at least some of them. What is your legacy as a Messianic believer? This very often I hear this question. So these are the questions we will address today. And I would like to start with the portion from Haftarah. And Brian, thank you for starting with this Torah portion. Actually, this is from the Lord. We did not agree about this place. We did not talk about it. But he read it from the point of restoration of land of Israel. And I would like to speak from the spiritual point of restoration. So please be with me. Amos chapter 9, from the verse 11. Please read with me. When the day comes, I will raise up the fallen sukkah. In Septuagint, it's tabernacle. So it has two meanings, sukkah and tabernacle of David. I will close up its gaps, raise up its ruins, and rebuild it as it used to be, so that Israel can possess what is left of Edom and of all the nations bearing my name, says Adonai, who is doing this. I like the ending of this. Says Adonai, who is doing this? Not the people, not people, not Adonai, the Lord. So actually, this is one of my favorite prophetic messianic scriptures. Very clear about us sitting in this room. I have heard various sermons relating to this scripture. Probably you too. Some Christian scholars believe that the tabernacle of David is the restoration of worship in the church. Who heard this testimonies like that? So it's worship in the church, more worship, more restoration. Actually, it's part true. Others that it is the restoration of prophetic ministry or of spiritual gifts. A lot of teachings about restoration of Mishkan of David or Tabernacle of David. Of course, to some extent, this is true. For sure, because in the tabernacle of David, there was worship to God, for sure, 24 hours. Prophecies were made there, and some of the beautiful psalms are so prophetic about coming of Messiah. Everything was in this place, in the tabernacle of David. It was place of birth. And the Holy Spirit filled the tabernacle. It was filled with the presence of the Spirit. But I think personally, this scripture from Amos speaks of a deeper, much deeper revelation to all of us. This is my opinion. The fact is that the Bible itself explains itself, and any of the passages which seems to be beyond understanding can be understood based on context and on scripture given elsewhere in the Bible. You can explain Bible with Bible, through Bible. So, where else can we find scripture relating to this beautiful prophecy in Amos? And I would like for you to open with me Acts chapter 15. Please open and look there. So, Acts chapter 15 is a remarkable place, remarkable, so strong, so interesting, and so humorous. Here we read about the first council of the Messianic communities in Jerusalem, the first, at which one of the most important questions of the first congregation was decided. Chapter 15, the first council, they had to decide the most important critical issue of the first church, first congregation. And today it even sounds funny from today's point of view. So the question was, can a non-Jew repent and become a believer in Messiah without conversion to Judaism and embracing all the strict rules of Judaism? That was the question of the first congregation in Jerusalem. In other words, can a non-Jew believe in Yeshua, or should he become a Jew first? So it was the question for them. I don't think it's a question for today. What do you think? Maybe for somebody it's a question, but looks like you live 2,000 years later. Our enemy has so distorted everything today. Because today you can hear the question, can the Jews believe in Yeshua? Everything opposite. Or they first become Christians? What to do with the Jewish people? And there is that story we hear all the time. Jews do not believe in Jesus. But 2,000 years ago, it was the opposite. Everything was opposite. The Jews gathered in Jerusalem to decide whether Gentiles could become Messianic believers or must they first convert in Judaism. This was the question for the first believers in Jerusalem. So let's read. Can you believe in this question? Can you believe in it? I mean, the story, everything mixed up in today's time. So let's read Acts chapter 15 from the verse 1. Now some men coming down from Judea were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. This was the question. When Paul and Barnabas had a big argument and debate with them, the brothers appointed Paul and Barnabas with some others from among them to go up to Jerusalem to the emissaries and elders about this issue. So it was the huge, big issue for them. And of course, you know the end of the story. To the joy of all nations of the world, the first apostles decided that every person from any nation is pleasing to God, and that there is no need to change their nationality and accept circumcision in order to make tshuva, or to repent before the Lord. It was to the joy of all nations around the world. You can be who you are and receive Jesus, receive Yeshua. You know, when I thought about it, I would like so much, like today's Christianity, to accept us for who we are. Jews who believe in the Messiah Yeshua while remaining Jews. I would like for Christian world to accept us this way. So let's read Acts chapter 15 from the verse 6. The emissaries and elders were gathered together to examine this issue. Let's say together, this issue. It was a big issue for them. They gathered together, all of them, to examine this issue, to decide what to do next. This is something new. Verse 7. After much debate, let's say together, much debate. It's what's not so simple for them. Much debate. It was not an easy decision for the first time the Gentiles can come to faith in the God of Israel through Yeshua the Messiah and inherit blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by faith through Yeshua the Messiah. It was a huge issue for them, huge question. Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God chose from among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the message of the good news and believe. And God, who knows the heart, testified to them by giving them the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, just as he also did for us. He made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts through faith." So no difference. He embraced all the nations of the world by faith in Yeshua the Messiah. How? By filling them with the Ruach HaKodesh. It was the sign from heaven, from the Lord, for everyone. And this was the main argument. This was the main evidence for them. The Lord accepted them. Very interesting. Such a freedom in the Messiah. The Lord destroyed the wall which prevented faith in Yeshua the Messiah by clearing sin from the hearts of the people. This was the plan of God, to purify hearts of people. Through faith in the Messiah, we are saved. And it makes no difference whether we are Jews or Jewish. And it is only through faith in the crucified and resurrected Messiah that we are permitted to come to the Lord. Only way through Yeshua the Messiah. And you know what's interesting? When I read this place also, that today's Torah portion tells us the same thing. It's going in the same direction. And I would like to touch Torah portion to be clear about it. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1. Adonai said to Moshe, "Speak to the entire community of Israel. Tell them, your people are to be holy because I, Adonai your God, am holy." Let's say together, be holy. I mean, very simple but so interesting thing. So meaning, your people are to be separated from all other people, separated to me for my purpose. This is the main idea of these words. Be holy, be separated for me with your lives. But what's interesting, I found this very interesting. Before the Lord commands Israel to be holy, to be set apart for him, in previous chapters, we read about the offering of sacrifice and the atonement for all humanity on the day of Yom Kippur. So before the Lord telling us, be holy, he provides sacrifice. He paid the price to set us apart. So it's his first. So this is a direct indication that we cannot be holy by our own actions and merits. Only by blood of the slain lamb redeems us from sin and makes us holy, separated for the Lord. Only the blood of the lamb. First faith and sacrifice. And then on this basis of God's righteousness, of God's holiness, we can live our life for the Lord, for God, only on his basis. So let's go back to our prophecy in Amos chapter 9 and read Acts chapter 15 a little bit farther. So In Acts 15, a little bit farther, we read how the apostle Yaakov gives this prophecy about the tabernacle of David as confirmation that the Messiah had already come, and that the messianic movement that began after the death and resurrection of Yeshua is the fulfillment of the prophecy from the book of Amos. And I want to read it from the verse 13, the same prophecy from the book of Amos. After they finished speaking, Jacob answered, "Brothers, listen to me. Simon has described how God first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for his name. The words of the prophets agree as it is written. After this, I will return and rebuild the fallen tabernacle of David. I will rebuild its ruins and I will restore it so that the rest of humanity may seek the Lord, namely all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says Adonai, who makes these things known from old." Can you imagine? This is the explanation of this prophecy. Clear. What could be clearer than this? Beautiful. The existence of messianic congregation and synagogues today is a sign for the world. Pain for Satan. Huge pain for Satan. And a prophetic confirmation for all believers that we live in the end times. Because this was the prophetic confirmation for the first believers in Jerusalem. How closer we are. 2,000 years. Yaakov directly links revival among Gentiles. The miracle, what's happened there. Revival, spreading the gospel to nations of the world. He directly links revival, immersion in the Holy Spirit, and the salvation of Gentiles with the repentance of the Jewish people. Restoration of the tabernacle of David. Restoration of the fallen tabernacle of David. He links revival in the world with the restoration of tabernacle of David. It's beautiful. So to make it clearer, I want to explain what the tabernacle of David was and how it different from the tabernacle of Moses. And we have old picture from the time. It's Kodak, made by Kodak. Can you see? Oh, this is the first color picture from that time. So this is, I mean, of course, it's not picture. I'm joking. Thank you for clarifying it. It was no Kodak at that time. So, the tabernacle of Moses consisted of three parts. The court, the people were gathered there. The holy place and the holy of holies. People in general could enter only the courtyard of the tabernacle. It's all. Not farther. Only the priests could come into the holy place for service. And only the high priest, once a year, on Yom Kippur, could enter the Holy of Holies to bring the blood of the sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins of all Israel. Once a year. So this tabernacle divided on three parts. The problem with this arrangement was that God's presence was in the Holy of Holies and people were in the courtyard. This was the problem. People outside of the presence of the Lord. The tabernacle of David was completely different. We do not have its description, but according to some biblical interpreters, the tabernacle of David is a tent with an ark in the midst of it, with no separation on the parts. It's a beautiful picture here. Levites succeeded each other in shifts for 24 hours a day so that worship to the Lord would never stop in this tent. 24 hours a day with the Ark of the Covenant inside of the tabernacle. Presence of the Lord. everyone who is in the presence of the Lord. Different picture. You can imagine how strong God's presence was in the tent. You can find it in the Psalms when David, King David, was so joyful to be in the presence of the Lord. That was the place, special place. When the Holy Spirit fell on Messianic believers at the great feast of Shavuot 2,000 years ago, Pentecost in Jerusalem, that was the restoration of the tabernacle of David, the presence of the Lord in the midst of Israel. That was the prophetic confirmation, explanation. And the beginning of the greatest revival in the world history. This was the idea, an idea of restoration of the tabernacle of David. Presence of the Lord in the midst of the people. People of Israel. And what is very interesting, many believers today pray for the salvation of mankind. But few people understand this mystery related to us by the prophet Amos and confirmed by Yaakov. Not many people, actually, when they're reading this, understand this. How can such a small messianic movement have such an influence on the whole body of Messiah and on the repentance of all the peoples of the earth? How it's possible? It is hard for us to comprehend. We have nothing to take pride in for ourselves. But we must understand the honor and responsibility of our calling, because we are called to great service, great ministry. Through the ministry of the Jewish Messianic community, the most important things happen: the restoration of the fallen tabernacle of David. This is our calling. Today, the presence of God, His Spirit, fills the hearts of Jews with faith and eternal life. And remarkably, there is also a corresponding spiritual awakening throughout the nations of the earth in the same time. So, I have a quiz for you. So, listen carefully as I read the next scripture, because a quiz will follow. Okay? So, if somebody are sleepy, sleep deeply. Don't listen to me. I release you to have fun. So, Matthew chapter 23, prophetic place of scripture about messianic movement of the last days. Matthew 23 from the verse 37, the words of our Messiah and our Lord. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those sent to her, how often I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will never see me again until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So, here's the quiz. Who do you think will cry those words? The first question. Who do you think will cry those words? Probably Ukrainians. All of them will go to Israel and cry there, yeah? Or Americans. Or, I don't know. I think it's clearly about Jewish people, about Israel. People who will live in Jerusalem. It's to Jerusalem. Okay, the second question. Who will be living in Jerusalem then? Who will be living in Jerusalem then? Answer. Mainly Jews who believe in the one who comes in the name of the Lord, because they would cry. Okay, the next question. Who will that one be? Quiet. I don't know why quiet. I think it's an easy question. Yeshua, I think so. I agree with you. Thank you, Tanya. You helped me. Yeshua, salvation coming to rescue Israel, because he will restore Israel. So the next question, and what will happen then after they will cry out to him? What will happen next? Okay, I can be quiet here and don't answer. Or should I? Okay, I will answer. It said here, you will never see me again until you say. So what will happen? He will come. Salvation coming from the Lord. It will be returning of the Lord in Jerusalem, to Jerusalem. And the last question. And in the meantime, what must we be doing? What is our job, our task from the Lord? Very simple. Our task and mission, our assignment from the Lord to bring the unbelieving part of our family, the Jewish people, to Yeshua. So they would cry to the Lord, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Who will be doing this? Ukrainians? Yes, partially yes. And they are successful sometimes. The main task of Messianic movement is to bring salvation to our people, to restore fallen tabernacle of David, so that our people will cry, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, and Yeshua will come. It's a beautiful picture here. It's prophetic from the Lord and Messiah. And finally, I would like to discuss with you another passage as recorded by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 9 and 11. The beautiful place. And actually, this is the message for Messianic believers. So, I would like to say before we will read it, one of the main reasons for Apostle Paul or Rabbi Shaul, it's the same person, to write these chapters is that believers among the Romans there had a huge problem. And this problem, we call it anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism. It was the problem in the first church in Rome. And I think this is many causes, both spiritual and physical, for anti-Semitism. And one of the main, it's my opinion, I think, is pride. Pride. The fact is that Rome in those days was a dominant empire in the known world and was very prosperous. Prosperous. It was the most prosperous empire in the world. Romans were the richest and most successful people on earth at that time, considering themselves better than and superior to other nations of the world. They looked from mountain to everybody else. So this scene of pride crept into the first Roman church or congregation. Roman believers, Gentile believers, felt that they were more spiritual, wiser, and closer to the Lord than believers were from the small Jewish nation. Who are those Jews? They are nothing. We are empire. In chapters 9 and 11, in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul rebuked that sin and warned them. It's clear warning for the Romans church in the book Romans 9:11. So I would like to read one of the mystery of the scriptures from the Apostle Paul or Rabbi Shaul. Romans 11 from the verse 11. I say then, they did not stumble so as of fall. Did they? May it never be, but by their false step, I like this interpretation, their false step. Salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy. Now if their transgression leads to riches for the world, and their loss riches for the Gentiles, then how much more their fullness. We are speaking about restoration of the tabernacle of David how much more their fullness. So Rabbi Shaul realized from the scriptures that the salvation of Israel signifies the coming of the Messiah and the restoration of the world. Tikkun Olam. Only Messiah can heal the world and restore people. And Romans 11:15, this is great revelation here. For if their rejection leads to the reconciliation of the world, all people came to the Lord. What will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Resurrection time. Coming of Messiah. Today we live in special prophetic times that the scriptures call the last days. So we live in these times. And from the history, only 100 years ago, there was no Israel. Surprise for young people, actually. They don't know it. Many of them. There was no messianic movement. There was no revival of the Jewish people. Only 100 years ago. It's nothing in the history of the world. But before our very eyes, Israel has been restored, and thousands of Jewish hearts have come to faith. Hundreds of messianic congregations in Israel and thousands around the world. It is something that was impossible until only recently. No one believed it could ever happen, and now it is a daily reality for us. We used to live in this, but please remember, this is something new. The Lord is doing something. But as we know, not all Jewish people came to faith in the Messiah. And as a result of that, news of Yeshua was taken to the other nations of the world. Many non-Jewish people who we know refer to us as the church have come to faith in Messiah Yeshua over the centuries. Millions. But just imagine the day when the Jewish people at last come to fullness in Messiah. How much stronger will be the revival when at last they come to faith, when the restoration of Tabernacle of David is complete. So my parting shot is be encouraged, each one of you. And it's from my heart to you. Our ministry is not easy. The enemy wants to prevent the salvation of the Jewish people. Wants to break the messianic movement. Because he knows the Bible very well. He's legalistic. He knows the scriptures. And he knows that the salvation of the Jews means that he's doomed. He's finished. He's coming to an end. But as we are reminded by verse 26 in Romans chapter 11, and I want to read it, 26 and 27. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. Let's say together, all Israel will be saved. I don't see here, maybe, partially, on some point, who knows what will happen or something. I like even another translation better, shall be saved. There's no doubt, no shadow here. All Israel shall be saved. And is it written, the deliverer shall come out of Zion. He shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And the verse 27, the foundation of this statement. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So covenant for me, this is the Lord's promise. The foundation of everything. And it cannot be changed or canceled because this is the covenant with Israel. So restoration of the tabernacle of David, this is the part of the covenant of the Lord. Our existence as a messianic movement, this is the great part of the restoration of the house of Israel, of the tabernacle of David. Presence of Yeshua, presence of the Holy Spirit, this is the restoration work of the Messiah. And you know these words. All the world will be singing. My deliverer is coming. My deliverer is standing by. So for me, the meaning of my existence, the objective of my work, of my ministry, the greatest dream of my life is to see the salvation of my people, the repentance of Israel. This is my goal, this is my life, this is my dream. And you know what? We are predestined for success. We have no better future than to be a part of God's end time reclamation of His people and of all the earth. So I want to stop here, and I would like to pray. And first of all, I think it's honor from the Lord to take part in the Messianic moment. It's small. It's not better than some places. I don't think so. Though it's beautiful, but I know some churches are bigger, stronger, powerful, but doesn't matter. I mean, it's good, it's great. But I see the Messianic movement as a part of the body of Messiah. And the Messianic movement has a very special, unique calling. We are the restored part of the tabernacle of David. I'm so happy about it. So I would like to pray, if you never accepted Yeshua as the Messiah and the Lord of your life, I would like to ask the Lord to come into your heart. And I would like you to pray, to ask for forgiveness, to ask that He will forgive you and fill you with His love, His mercy, and His Spirit. I would like to pray. Avinu Malkeinu, my Father and my Lord, I'm coming to you in the name of Yeshua. And I'm asking you, Lord, please forgive my sins, Lord. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness, Lord. I thank you for Yeshua, the Messiah. And I accept Him as my Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you, Father, for great sacrifice for me. And thank you, Yeshua, for your death and your resurrection. Thank you for life, eternal life. And thank you for the Holy Spirit. In the name of Yeshua, I pray. Amen. Amen. So let's finish with the Aaronic benediction. Let's pray. Bless the Lord. Please not be alone. Found somebody. We have great custom to support each other. Who knows, maybe somebody wants to sleep, so you... There is the long day, and we enter in Shabbat. So let's pray. Yevarechech Adonai ve'yishmerecha Yaher Adonai panav alecha vichunecha Yisa Adonai panav alecha ve'yasem lecha Shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord make the light of His face appear to you and bring you peace, His peace, His peace, in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Amen. Shabbat Shalom.